Okay, Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud, Pasuk. We'll do Pasuk Aleph again. We spent basically, well, most of last week on Pasuk Aleph. We'll just see it again now, just as a preface to the Inyan. Oh, Rav David is here. So we'll begin again. Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Malka Shiva Shemaz is Shema Shloima V'Shem Hashem. The Queen of Shiva heard about the reputation of Shloima in its godly context. V'Tovoylen Asloisei B'Chidus. So she came to try him out with riddles. Now, we gave last week three pshatim on what it means that she heard about Shloima for the sake of Hashem. And I'll just briefly repeat it. We spent all shiur on it last time. Briefly repeat it now just in order to for the continuation. A. Shloima's wisdom manifested divinity. That was number one, right? That the association, the connection to the divine was clear. There was no missing that. And she was, okay, well, before she... And then Rav Moshe David Vali takes it to the next step. She was intrigued by this. She wanted to get to see what is this godliness that Shloima is operating off. Can I connect to it too? Okay. So here we continue. So according to Rav Moshe, and here this is interesting because we have two very different tracks in understanding in a personal way what this Malkas Shiva, what this Queen of Shiva was about. I'm going to go through the perek working with Rav Moshe David Vali, but then at the end we will backtrack and look at the other understanding. Rav Moshe David Vali says that she was coming now. She was starting to recognize the emes just through the things that she was hearing about Shloima, and she wanted to come check this out. It was mamish similar to Yisroi, similar to Rachav, where there was a sincere desire to connect to the MS, and she was coming to check this out. So now, Vatova Yerushalayim, when she came to Yerushalayim, Bechel Chaved Me'oyim, with a very great entourage. Gmalim Noisim Bisamim, with camels carrying all kinds of exotic spices. Vizov Rav Me'oyim, and with a lot of gold, the Even Yikara, and with a lot of precious stones. Vatavayel Shloima, and she came to Shloima, Vatidaber Elav is Kol Asher Hayoyim Levava, and she spoke to him everything that was in her heart, meaning she spoke with her mouth. You don't speak with your heart, you speak with your mouth. But Shloima, with his wisdom, heard everything behind everything she was saying. You know, like, whenever we speak, we have the liberty of saying what we want the other person to hear while keeping what I'm really thinking to myself and figuring out what I want to convey. But Shloima, with his wisdom, it was all out on the table. Any sentence she said, Shloima immediately saw, got everything behind it. Now, I want to back up and note, again, we're going with Rav Moshe David Vali here. He says, "Vatavay Yerushalayim bechel kaved ma'ay." She came to Yerushalayim. What we translated that is as with a very great entourage. This is what Rav Moshe David Vali says on a deeper level. Chayil literally means strength, koyach. Okay, she was coming with a very great strength to Yerushalayim. She was coming with a lot of power. What power was this? Kaved ma'ay. Kaved. What's the gematria of kaved? 26. What's that reminiscent of? Shem Hashem. Right? What's Ma'oid? Ma'oid is 45. If you add up the Milui of Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Milui means you take each letter and you spell it out. Yud is Yud Vav Dalid. Hey is Hey Aleph. It can be, the Heys and the Vavs can be spelled different ways for different purposes. But Hey is Hey Aleph. Vav is Vav Vav. And Hey is Hey Aleph. If you add that up, it's 44. It's a rule in gematrius that one number off still works. That's a rule in gematrius. We're not going to get into that now. This part, ruling gematrius is that one number off is still called a gematrius. Okay? So he says she came with Chayil, very great power. What was that power? Siyata Dishmaya. Kaved Ma'oi. There was the Shema Bayi there with all of its Tzmilut. Why doesn't it say it that way? Since she was a guy. She was a guy. At the end of the day, the Shema of Hashem, the name of Hashem is only going to openly manifest on a Jew. She was coming, Hashem was guiding her. And Hashem was leading her toward her ultimate destination. And she was looking to get close, he was drawing her close with immense siyata dishmaya. But we're not going to say Yud Kei Vav Kei openly. Kaved Ma'oyim. It's alluded to. It's there in the Gematria. But the Gematria is made very clear. Kaved Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Ma'oyim is the Milui, the full articulation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yeah. What's that? So this is a general principle that when a person really is seeking the truth, Hashem will make it available to him. Hashem will make it available to him. We see very interesting precedents of this in history. Okay, there's Yisrael, Rachav, and others. The truth is, it's also interesting, even if we're not looking from Tanakh, this always struck me, if you're not looking from Tanakh sources, the story of Kuzari. Starts with a king who has a dream. This is the king who was trying to serve God in the right way, and he was busy doing all the pagan services in a very dedicated way in his pagan temple. He kept on having this dream that kept telling him, your intent is in the right place, but your actions are not. And that is what spurred him to start investigating. Now the whole sefer is an extremely intellectual sefer. The whole sefer is a very intellectual sefer. There's no hocus pocus in the sefer, except for that. The beginning of the sefer, right, starts with this dream. That's how the whole thing gets started. After that, it's on a very, very solid intellectual track. Okay? But what's this dream that gets it started in the first place? That couldn't come through intellectual means? My understanding is that's the same idea we're discussing here. No. There was a king somewhere out there in a remote place called Kuzar, who had no access to anything that had to do with Jews, right? But, once again, this was a man who was sincerely seeking the truth and sincerely seeking what's right. On the contrary, it started with that dream. And this, according to Rav Moshe David Vali, is the story of the Queen of Sheba as well. So now, Vayaged lo Shlomo es kol dvareo. Shlomo told her everything. There was nothing that stayed beyond Shlomo asher lo higid lo, that he didn't tell her. Vatere malka Sheba. So the Queen of Sheba saw es kol chokhma Shlomo, the wisdom of Shlomo. And the house that he had built, meaning the Beis HaMikdash. We keep on intertwining the religious aspects with the Chachma, meaning she sees how it's all intertwined together. This is a man of unprecedented intellect, something that's completely blowing her mind. And by the way, this farm say that she was a great intellectual. Ver Moshe has a whole length about how she was a big philosopher at the time. She was blown away by the Chochmah of Shlomo, but she sees clearly how it's all just enmeshed with his service with the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Then, Umachal Shulchanai. Now, this is interesting. Here we talk about a very great intellectual. What's she taken by? She's taken by his wisdom, she's taken by his dedication to the great house, the Beis HaMikdash, and the food on his table. And the way he had all of his servants and attendants set each man in his position, and the way he had each one dressed as appropriate for his role, umashka, and she was also impressed. We said the food on his table, like the drinks on his table, okay. And the Oilosayashayale Beis Hashem, he had a special corridor leading from the palace, an above the ground corridor leading from the palace to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see soon what was very unique about it. She was taken by that as well. Okay. And all of her spirit left her. We'll explain this momentarily. But first, let's note this puzzle. What's being said here? We're saying she was taken by his wisdom, by his dedication, by the fact that he had that car they were leading from his house to the Beit HaMikdash, which made his connection with the Beit HaMikdash, his Avodas Hashem, a very central part of his identity. There was no divorcing Shlaima from his identity as a through and through Avod Hashem. But she was also taken by all the food and the drink on his table and the way he had his court set up. She was taken by all that as well. So, this is interesting. The Mefarshim explained. It sounds a little incongruous, right? You have the guy who's going to be taken by the food, and then you have the guy who's going to be taken by the wisdom. It's usually you're not going to be the same person, right? But they say, no. What she was taken by was how Shlaima's wisdom manifested in every element of his palace, of his court, of his table even. First of all, in a number of ways. First of all, the food and drink on his table, and also the grandeur of his palace, was of such a quality and quantity that was also, again, manifested the divine. These were supernatural things. So we're talking about a queen, but she was taken by the immensity. The grandeur and the immensity was something that was just out of bounds. Right? We're not talking about an extremely rich person. We're talking about a whole different league in royal terms. So first of all, yes, the food and the drink and the grandeur of the court was what lent to the impression of divinity. There was godliness at work here. We'll see soon. His corridor leading from his palace to the Beit HaMikdash was made out of, how do you call it, coral? Which is apparently an extremely rare sort of material that if you're going to make something out of it, it's going to be this big. He made a corridor out of that. Which is, we're not talking about lavish, we're talking about completely out of bounds. Right? To make a building out of, coral or corral?
Green coral? What? Coral is like coral reefs, like huge things, like you'll see, tons of them.
So you know what? I'm not sure exactly what it is we're talking about here.
It's a picture that they frozen in the water.
Is there something or the other where it's a relatively rare and expensive material for making things out of? Yeah, okay. Oh, so apparently... It could be also that just in terms of accessing it. I don't know, but this is something that is meant to highlight how he had very, very rare material in his palace at immense quantities. That were not just rich, it was something supernatural. In addition, the Mepharshim say, there are bags.
Sorry, I think it is Mother of Pearls.
What's that?
Something called Mother of Pearls.
Mother of Pearls?
Yeah, that's the inside of shell. You know, it's very, very beautiful. It gives off a beautiful reflection.
So it's not just reef coral. I hear. So it's actually a more rare sea product. Like from oysters or something like that?
Exactly.
Similar to, what's that?
Exactly. Yeah,
similar to pearls.
Shells. It's like a shiny one.
Ah, interesting. Oh, okay. So we're getting a bit closer. In addition, the Ralbag says, every element of his palace also reflected wisdom. Because the food and drink on his table were very, very calculated. It was there in very, very great quantity, but it was perfectly suited to the time of year in terms of health, the quantity, the proportions, what was served in what order. Someone who, it's like, who was, Shlomo Freifeld said about, you sit with the Shkolena Rebbe at a Suda, you can learn all of Hilchos Suda. Just by watching him eat his meal. So this was something that a person who was a little bit arangelik, who was knew the ins and outs of health, etc., was able to see all kinds of chidushin and elements of this in the way they served in his palace. In the way they served in his palace. And in addition, the way each servant was so precisely apt for his job. Everything about the palace manifested both divinity and immense wisdom. And this is why, yes, along with being taken by the Beit HaMikdash, his dedication to the Beit HaMikdash, immense wisdom, she was taken by the whole conduct of the palace as well. So, and Rav Moshe David Nali, of course, Al Darkai, he always comes under the other Mepharshim with the underlying shot. He says this is in addition to the Seidus, the secret element of Torah that everything was corresponding to in the palace as well. That we leave to him. And it says she, all of her spirit drained out of her. Simply understood, the Mepharshim say, all of her spirit drained out of her, meaning like, it's what we call Chalishas Hadas. It's like, we're talking about a very great philosopher, right? The Mepharshim say, this woman was a very, very great intellectual. It's very geschmack to meet someone who has something to add, to expand, right? Philosopher, especially, a person who really appreciates intellect, feels very, very, it's a very geschmack of feeling when you find someone who's really able to enlighten you after you've already come far in your understanding, and someone just expands. It's very geschmack. But here, it comes to a situation where she felt like completely overwhelmed by, again, not somebody who's in those few steps ahead of everything she'd ever met before, but where his wisdom was just something that nobody had ever touched on. It was like, made her start, feel like a kindergarten kid. There was a certain, like, the spirit left her in terms of, like, she just felt lousy, right? She felt like a little kid. She felt silly next to him. That's a simple understanding of Lehaya Ba'ed Ruach. But here again, we say Rav Moshe David Nali is going to feature centrally throughout this parasha. Rav Moshe David Nali says, no, it's not the pshat. Not that that's not the pshat, it is an underlying pshat. We said before how she was coming from her land, she was seeking the emes, she was coming with a mensi out of the Shemaya, but she still was who she was. She had her own identity, right? She still had her own beliefs, etc., etc. He says, once she really spent this period of time, however long it was, in the palace of Shlomo, however she previously identified herself, drained out. She was no longer the same person. She wasn't the same queen of Shva, even though it seems beforehand she was a principled person, a moral person, a good person, whatever it is, but she already wasn't the same person. She had now assumed a new identity, which is kind of reminiscent. I'll just throw this in parentheses of what the Chazanish says. It says, Adam Kiyamus Ba'el. Right, the famous Drush of Chazal. It says, the man dies in the tent. A person cannot really acquire Divrei Torah unless he kills himself over it, right? That's the famous Drush of Chazal. So simply understood, we all take that to mean you have to really kill yourself over it, right? Toil, kill yourself over it. The Chazanish says something amazing, which is really this point. He says, when we talk about growth in Avodas Hashem, sometimes a person sees different areas of midas or things like that. This is not something that I can let go of. This taiva or this midah, whatever it is, it's an inherent part of my identity. The Chazon Ish says, by killing the you that you know, undoing that identity, you will discover. He says, your main, the way he puts it is, Chazal means, lahamis es hachayim ha-shitzi. You think you know yourself right now, this is your identity? A part of your identity is that whatever taiva it is, by killing the you that you think you are, you will be nichnas with toicham shalachayim, he says. You'll move into deeper levels of life, and you'll discover deeper levels of who you really are. That's it. That's right. You got rid of that. You shed that skin. That's like the snake getting rid of its shedding its skin. That's how, you know. Gipul the snake. Gipul, where are you? Is that you back you over there? No. There's a new, rejuvenated, renewed me. That's who this is. You got rid of the old you. You shed the old you. And now you're discovering a deeper, more profound, more quality you. This is what happened to the Queen of Sheba. She left her old rock behind. She shed it. Vatayme HaMelech. So she said to the king, Emes Hoya Hadava. Sorry. arguably so. Okay, so she said to the king, "Emes haya adavar, asher shamati ba'atzi al varecha. Everything that I heard in my land about you and your words was true. Al varecha al chachmasecha. About everything, about your deep philosophy, the al varecha, and about your affairs, meaning the way you run the most mundane affairs of your kingdom." Said people were taken. You had a technician came to Shlomo's palace. He came away blown away. And you had a very deep philosopher came to Shlomo's palace. He was blown away. It doesn't usually go together. The things I heard about your affairs and your wisdom. Everything, from the deepest philosophy to the most mundane technical elements, all were run in the palace according to Shlomo's wisdom. And therefore everything was operating on a much grander, more profound scale. Electrician came to the palace. He came away amazed at the ga'inus and the chidushin in the field of electricity that he discovered there. He was ready to move his whole profession to a new plane. These were the things she heard about him. The way you run your affairs, the technicalities. Two, the deep philosophy. It sounded exaggerated to me. I didn't believe all these things. Until I came. And I saw it with my own eyes. But now I see that I wasn't even told the half of it. You have exceeded with your wisdom and your goodness everything that I've heard. So now, Ashrei Anoshecha, fortunate are your men. Ashrei Avodecha Eile Ha'amidim Lefanecha, and fortunate are your servants who are standing here before you. Ha'amidim Alecha Lefanecha Tamid, who are always here before you. Hear your wisdom all the time. She says, I feel like I got a new lease on life. I feel like my whole life was taken to a new level because I spent this little bit of time in your palace. I can only envy the people who are with you and around you all the time. Their world is just expanding and enhancing and mushrooming all the time. Now she says, she's saying two things. Your servants are always with you all the time. They're to be envied. But even besides that, all the rest of your citizens, the people who aren't, let's say there are people who aren't exposed to you. The people who are subject to your rule, the people who are living in the land that you're conducting, are to be envied because of the quality that you must be creating through your wisdom. So Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch. She says, May Hashem, your God, be blessed. Asher Chofetz Becha. The Sitcha al Kisei Yisrael, who desired you to put you on the throne of Yisrael, be'avat Hashem es Yisrael lo'olam, because of His love of His people. This comes back to the Kiddush Hashem we spoke about last week. This is Kiddush Hashem, right? Where the greatness of Shlomo brings out to her how much Hashem loves and cares for His people. The fact that you gave them, you arranged for them such a king. And He put you on the throne to guide them with Mishpat and Tzedakah, with righteousness and Chesed. So this Taka is epitomizing the Kiddush Hashem, the immense Kiddush Hashem of Shlomo's reign, how the glory of Hashem shone brilliantly through Eretz Yisrael to the world around in the time of Shlomo's reign. So she gave the king 120 talents of gold, according to Rav Stein Cheshvan, that would bring us to a little less than $240 million, right? $1.8 million each talent, and very, very many spices, the Evan Yekara and precious gems. Leibokam, apparently in her land there were these very exotic spices, and now she brought them to Yerushalayim. Leibokam boisim ahu oid l'roid. There had never been seen such immense quantities of these spices. Asher nosna malka shva l'melech shloim, that the queen of Shva granted as a gift to the to Shlomo. Now, the gam ani chira ashonotzah zahav mi'ofir. Now, also the ships of Chiram that carried the gold from Ofir, evi me'ofir ad tse'al mugi. They bought these coral plants along habei me'ofir. Very, very great quantities of ebony coral, also precious stones. Vayas hamelech esaltzeha al mugim misod lebeis Hashem. And Shlomo made out of these corals a corridor leading to the house of Hashem, or the beis hamelech, from the palace to the house of Hashem. Vekinoiros unevalim lashon. He also made out of it lyres and harps for the musicians of his palace. So again, like the Mepharshim note, and also, sorry, to the Levim. These are what the Levim use as their instruments. By Bokken Atzel Mugim, there had never been such a phenomenon with these corals. Like Nira Adayemazer, it was never seen used in such immense quantity. What's that?
It says here in the Hebrew Yarmim, it's called algum, it's algum wood. Okay. And say it might be sandalwood or pine wood.
Sandalwood or pine wood? I
okay.
Do you know what that is? Are these especially rare? Pine wood certainly doesn't sound especially rare.
No.
You know what sandalwood is? It's the coral, right. Ah, those are what you were talking about, the live creatures. That's interesting. I hear. That's an interesting color. Interesting. Okay, so I have a few different suggestions as to exactly what it was. The gist from these psukim is that apparently it was very a rare phenomenon to be used in these quantities and in this way. That's definitely what the pasuk is trying to bring out. So the King Shlomo gave to the Queen of Shva all of her desire, Asher Shala, that she wanted. Besides the generous gifts that he gave her as appropriate to the King Shlomo. Does it mean that he gave her everything she desired besides generous gifts? Giving her generous gifts, wouldn't that include it? So Rashi says, we mean wisdom. She came away feeling like now she was put on a different plane for the rest of her life in terms of thought, wisdom, etc. And of course, Rav Moshe David Valley adds the undercurrent means the Ruchnius. The Ruchnius. He now infused her with Ruchnius. Now, Rav Moshe David Valley Taka says that presumably this means that she actually went and converted. And then when the pasuk concludes, Vatefen, Vatelech La'atso Hivavodeo, and she turned and she went back to her land, he and her servant, Rav Moshe David Valley says, she presumably went to convert her people as well. That's the Mahalas. That's what I mentioned at the beginning of the parasha. There are two tracks here. This is the track of Rav Moshe David Valley. We've gone through the parasha on the track of Rav Moshe David Valley, who sees in Malkas Shva, sees in the Queen of Shva, a very idealistic, sincere person who was ready to go all the way with the Emet. And indeed, after meeting Shlomo, she went all the way, she converted, and not only that, she brought her whole nation into the fold. According to this understanding, this really epitomizes the times and the legacy and the career, the goals that Shlomo HaMelech set for himself.
there is reason for this portion is put in the
prayer. Right. Ah, okay. So what's the other track? The other track, which is not by other Mephoshim, Ben Moshe has a link about this, was that this parasha is almost emphasizing the opposite. She came, we'll just take the psukim, she came. She invested a lot in this visit, she was extremely impressed. And what happened at the end of it all? She went home. And that was the end of that. So according to that, it's still, this parasha is being bought out. That's like I said the other week. Whether she did convert or didn't convert does not really bear on the significance of the parasha itself. Because the point of the parasha is not to show about Shifnat HaShvah, not the Queen of Shvah. The point of the parasha is to show, to illustrate, the effect that Shlomo HaMelech was having in the world around. So for that purpose, it doesn't make a difference. She did convert, she didn't convert, as we said. A guy can be a great guy without converting. He lives up to what Hashem expects of a guy. He doesn't need to convert, right? Of course, it resonates better with us if it culminated in our conversion. But it doesn't have to. So the significance of the parsha to have its significance. But nevertheless, these other mafarshim do view her in more of a critical way, as epitomizing, and this is where I mentioned Bilam before. Bilam was considered the forerunner of Chochmas HaGoy. He was a very great philosopher. This is, we should realize this. A lot of the, when we talk in terms of Torah literature, where do we talk about the source of Chochmas HaGoy? We often attribute it to Yavan. So Yavan, right? So Yavan, there are sources that say that actually the Chochmah of Yavan originated with Bilam. Bilam was considered the father of philosophers of Chochmah, and he understood a lot about Hashem as well. Right? He considered himself a dedicated servant of Hashem. You see, expressing it that way. Just what? He had a hard time really bridging the gap from the intellectual understanding to Olam HaMaaseh. And according to this track, they put Malka Shva in the same category. She came, she understood it all, she had immense intellect. But, and this is so important to understand, intellect and practice do not have an automatic connection. They just don't. A person can understand an awful lot. I told the story about the Babichur Rebbe. I'm not sure if it was the one, the previous one, the Beit Yitzchak, or the one before him. He went to this very frail man, and he was taken to one of the big doctors in Austria, Vienna. And this doctor asked him, what do you do? So he said, I build bridges. And it didn't sit well with the doctor. It didn't look like one of the Lubavitcher Rebbes. Didn't sit well with the doctor. It didn't fit the profile. He saw that he was a clergy in some way. So he said, you build bridges? He said, yeah, I spend my whole life building bridges. So what are you talking about? So he said, I spend my entire life trying to successfully make a bridge from my mind to myself that'll last. The doctor apparently appreciated the part. So, but there's if anybody with a bit of experience in planned and programmed Avodah Hashem will relate to this, right? We learn. We develop our hashkafa, we develop our understanding of Musar and Avodah Hashem, but it doesn't necessarily translate into practice. And it's actually something scary, because when a person does really develop his understanding of Avodah Hashem, he can feel like he's there. It's a scary, it can be a very misleading sense. You can feel like you're there. You learn a geshmakam v'siyas yisharim, you connect so well to his message. I'm not doing it today, but I'm already there, I can start doing whatever I want. You have to realize that no, they are miles and miles away. The big chachma is to be able to live with that realization and realize that no, anything that get any of your wisdom that you're not going to find the means of translating into practice, bringing it into the physical, into the Olam HaMaaseh, can just remain up there, and you might end your life with all that wisdom and understanding that you'll never have made use of. So you want to find, where am I putting this into practice? Where am I translating it into practice? to Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz said, anytime you feel inspired, anytime you're inspired by something, decide immediately, while the inspiration is still boiling hot, what is something I'm going to do to anchor it? Otherwise, it drifts back away. As long as it remains in the intellect, it'll drift back away. What is something I'm going to do to anchor it? Do something practical. Afterwards, you'll work it all out. But do something right away. So, according to this other track, Malka Shva is another one of those tragic examples. Mamish like Bilam. Bilam also, if you look at it, you see it's Mamish, your heart can almost go out to him when you really analyze the story of Bilam. Of a person who understood it so well, wanted it so much, but wouldn't bring himself to take the step. Presumably with the understanding that he could still do it tomorrow. Bilam says in his Nevuah, when he's looking at Klal Yisrael and at the future, he says, oh, if only I'd be able to die their death and have their future. What do you mean? He had a colleague named Yisrael, right? He wanted it too, he went and did it. Yeah, but I'm in a geshmaka relationship with his donkey, he's not ready to drop that so fast. Okay. Move on. Actually, no. Okay, we'll end here. The Oilons and Shus will take a few minutes just to. I feel like, if all in these shiurim, we're here to develop our, like we talked about now, develop our understanding of Hashem, the way He operates. So now it's Ramesh Halacha L'maisa. Standing before Rosh Hashanah Halacha L'maisa. Let's spend a few minutes. Let's just spend a few minutes on that.